Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen and
Adam Cravens.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Batman.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's my night identity. During the day, I'm millionaire playboy Bruce Wayne.
Well, I had the decency to be sick during the week when we weren't recording. However, unless I'm about to have laryngitis, when I get sick, I just seem to sound better and better. On the air?
Apparently, I was bitten by a radioactive Kevin Conroy, so I sound like I'm in Batman the Animated Series.
Okay, way to go, you. So, because we have a lot to talk about and Adam is in a delicate state, I think we need to jump right in, though we have so much to talk about.
I think we can do that, yeah.
First, we're going to make you wait for what you really want to hear. You saw the sequel to Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, or you saw the I'm related to the movie Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, but you don't have to have seen that to get this.
There's a lot of parallels you can draw between this and the Jack Ryan series. So, like, I'm going to go, was Clear and Present Danger a sequel to Hunt for Red October? Like, yeah, but not really. Like, they take elements from the first film, but, like, it's not like Godfather Part 1 and Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just this direct continue. A lot of characters with the same name, like, similar plot points, like, and even some of the history is the same.
So was this girl with a butterfly tattoo? I mean, what was the difference?
No, still got the dragon tattoo. Like, she just...
So she's still in it.
For whatever reason, when MGM and Sony decided that they were going to go ahead with a follow-up to Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, the Oscar-nominated original, like Rooney Mara... was up for, I believe, best actress or best supporting actress. I want to say it's best actress. David Fincher, who is one of the greatest living directors. Like, I would put this guy shoulder to shoulder with Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg, Robert Zemeckis, James Cameron. I mean, he's the goods. Daniel Craig as well.
He's not too shabby.
I'm just saying, like, but for some reason, instead of doing the two books that are a direct follow-up to that, they skip to what is, I believe, the fourth book. Completely forego, I think, of The Girl That Played With Fire and Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest.
So in terms of Lord of the Rings, they went from, hold on, my mind is working, and it is The Hobbit and then The Silmarillion.
Yeah, like I said, technically it is like the Tolkien universe, but it's not exactly what you just watched.
Okay. So, this is a... I remember seeing Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and I remember thinking, oh, this is a good movie. I don't remember anything else about it, except that I remember it was interesting to watch just visually. I really just don't remember it, though, because it was
a long time ago. It's rated R. And that may have been what Sony and MGM were thinking, like, and when you combine, like, Daniel Craig, David Fincher, and Rooney Mara, it's probably not cheap. And I guarantee you they all had, like, some kind of participation points or back end, something like that.
So who's in this one?
Daniel Craig. Claire Foy is Elizabeth Salander, like, the main character, the one that Rooney Mara played.
So she's the dragon tattoo girl.
Yes, she is the girl with the dragon tattoo. Yes.
Okay. And is the dragon's name Smaug?
No.
Hmm.
Not even...
Puff?
No.
Hmm.
No. No dragon that we have previously been aware of.
Okay.
But this time, instead of having a dragon tattoo, she's in a spider's web. But not the Itsy Bitsy.
And not Shelob.
No. Okay. As much as we would like to connect it to the Lord of the Rings, they're not having.
I can make that happen even more. But anyway, so it's suspense, it's a solve a murder mystery. What is it exactly?
There is a...
is it about a tattoo parlor, perhaps?
There is a program that allows the user to basically, like, take over nukes.
Okay.
And in order to do this, like, you have to have... I don't want to go in too much to it because it's a plot point that kind of fakes you out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an individual that has to put in a passkey, and you have to have that person in addition to the program that I believe at the beginning of the film, the NSA is actually in possession of. So, like, this is a well-kept secret. The entire kind of gist of the movie is the creator doesn't want any, like, he regrets his creation. It's dangerous. He doesn't want any government to have it. Basically, he wants it back so he can destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
So he contacts the girl with the dragon tattoo. While she is in possession of it, another faction steals it from her. And the rest of the movie is kind of about them trying to put all of those pieces back together, get that, get it out of the open, and make sure that, you know, a terrorist organization doesn't get it and literally blow the world up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, stakes are high.
Okay.
Stakes are definitively high.
Was it entertaining? Was it gripping? Was it tattoo-y?
The problem that I found with the movie is kind of the issue you run into when you've got people that have played characters before. And, I mean, like I said, unless you get into that rare instance where you've got, like, Robert De Niro and Marlon Brando playing the same character,
mm-hmm.
inevitably you're going to have one that just outshone the mm-hmm. original. Like, and Rooney Mara, like I previously mentioned, was up for an Oscar for her role. Claire Foy doesn't do bad with the role. No one is, like, just effectively bad. Like, it's not Mystery Science Theater. The story is engaging. It's a well-shot movie. It doesn't really lag. The biggest thing this movie has going against it is that it's not the original cast.
Hmm.
Kind of, I guess, the issue that a lot of people had with Solo this previous summer,
mm-hmm.
like, as you and I have championed on multiple occasions, like, Solo's a good movie.
Yeah.
Now, grant you, Harrison Ford is not Han Solo, and that's a huge caveat.
Some people can't get past that.
The movie's still good, and if you'll get past it, like, it's worth watching. Is it better than, like, say, Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back?
No.
And just like in that, the entire time I'm watching this, I'm sitting there going, there's a better movie, like, out in the ether that never got made because MGM wanted to have a larger profit
mm-hmm.
based on the movie. And they do seem to tone down the violence significantly in this one. I'd almost guess that it's a PG-13. I don't know that for a fact, but, like, it is noticeably less violent and, mature.
Less mature.
The original, like,
adult,
it's still,
themes are a bit more, less adulty.
It's still mature, but it's not quite as much as the original was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, worth watching, but you don't have to run to the theater to see it. But if it's, like, a rainy Saturday and it's on Netflix, sure.
I think definitely. Like, the book series, if you haven't read, like, any of those, they're really engaging. Like, this character, she's not quite as prolific as, say, like, Jack Ryan, but it's a, or Jack Reacher, or any Jack that appears.
Anyone named Jack,
yeah,
yes.
In a book. They're really entertaining. Like, and they're usually pretty, like, suspenseful. They're well-written, well-paced. If you liked that first movie, it's worth checking this out, but temper your expectations appropriately. Like, I think is the best thing to anybody that I've taught is basically that. I'm like, it's good. If you'd never watch Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, I think you'd like it a lot more.
Okay. Well said. Now, this is going to be difficult because I was going to see this film on Friday, and then my Friday imploded. So I did not get to see this film in advance, though I will be seeing it, so Adam's going to go, I can't say this and I can't say that, but let's get to The Crimes of Grindelwald.
I will do my absolute best, because there's some definitive spoilers.
I want to know them.
Towards the end of this movie.
So for those who have been living under a rock, this is, in the time-space continuum, takes place before the very first Harry Potter film and book. It involves some of the same characters, and it involves some characters you may never have heard of before, because they are older than what you first are familiar with, if you are.
I want to say it's set during the 40s, I believe. So, I mean, it's about, the Harry Potter movies take place in the late 90s,
and
as
this,
I recall.
This germ of an idea came about. You may remember Harry Potter's wonderful monster book, Chomp, 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 Chomp. That was really, if you think about it, that was such a little joyous thing.
Yeah.
And now they've built this whole character around Newt.
If you have ever been to J.K. Rowling's site, she is...
I thought you were going to say house.
Constantly. Like, just giving backstory and, like, she loves to flesh things out that, in all likelihood, no one was ever going to read. Like, that house elf that she's talking about on page 463, like, she knows where they were born. She knows, like, the first job they had. They, like, just stupid amount of detail that, like, a regular person, but considering she's a billionaire at this point, I don't think calling her, like, a regular person is necessarily apt here.
Let's say an exceptional nerd.
Like, I think at this point, the fact that she lost being a billionaire because she gave away so much money to charity, I think that definitely qualifies her in a different pantheon.
Yes. So, first I want to say, read the first Harry Potter book. Just read that one. If you do not read any of them, read the first one.
And I mean, and honestly, like, it's a real quick read.
Yeah.
Especially compared to, like, Order of the Phoenix or Goblet of Fire. Mm-hmm. Like, they're biblical, like, in there. But the first, the first three books, 200 pages, something like that, depending on which edition you're getting. Like, real easy to digest. Like,
I remember my mom loved them. Loved them. And she read them in the 90s. So, you know, she was like 70-something, I guess, and she read them.
I picked up, I want to say it's the sixth and the seventh book. I picked them up at midnight whenever they were released. Like, and I did them in two sittings. And the only reason I didn't do it in one sitting is because I fell asleep. Not because the book wasn't doing it for me, but physically, as a human,
it's so annoying.
I require sleep.
I used to wish that, I'm not talking books on tape. I want the books to be, like, in my head, so I'm reading them and looking at the words and turning the pages in my head, so I could just get all that while I was sleeping.
That seems dangerous, giving a book company access to your brain. Like,
well, I was a child.
I believe that's basically the plot to Batman Forever, Jane. If I'm remembering correctly. Okay.
So this is who we're talking about. And the first one was Fantastic Beasts, which was delightful. And then you go, oh, that's Captain Jack Sparrow. Are we tired of Johnny Depp?
I think the character that he was playing in Pirates, and to a lesser extent, Lone Ranger, I think we are over our love affair with kind of the one where he likes to kind of dance. Like, I mean, he did it to great acclaim, like the first Pirates movie up for Best Actor, the billions of dollars Disney has farmed from the Pirates franchise. Like, but that was also, correct me if I'm wrong, that was 2003, correct?
Sounds
Pirates
about
of the
right.
Caribbean. So we are 15 years removed from that. And Johnny Depp has played characters of kind of a similar...
What was the awful
Mordecai
one? Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, even when he revisited the character in the most recent Pirates, which the subtitle is leaving me, it's not... Is it on Stranger Tides or... It's okay, Pirates of the... Something.
Doesn't
something,
matter.
Something. It was not even a huge success. Like, and when I say not a huge success, I mean it didn't make like $1.3 billion. Like, it only did like $178 million in the U.S. and it only did like $700 million worldwide.
Oh, I know. It's a huge disappointment.
But
as this character, now I will tell you this, even though I know she's fleshed it out later, as I was reading the Harry Potter books, and this is what I would do, I didn't discover them when they first came out. I think I was given the first and second one in maybe 95. And then I went and found the third one. And then it's like, oh, there's another one. And there's another one. So each time, I'm such a nerd, each time I knew there was going to be another release, I would time it. So I would reread from the beginning the whole series.
I've done that on a lot of seasons with Game of Thrones, like trying to just kind of re-immerse myself with that.
So there's that. So having
to
done
be fair,
that.
That's very nerdy. I want to make sure that I specify that.
It is super nerdy. I picked up, and I can't quote it, I just had a vibe about Dumbledore and why is his name? Flamel. I just had a vibe.
Yeah.
Said that's all. And turns out many years later I found out, oh, well, I'm not surprised. I had a vibe.
Well, she likes to plant seeds like very early.
And I want to say, I just remember Dumbledore was telling Harry the story and it was probably the words she used in his description and how he looked at Dumbledore before he jumped out the window. And it was just something so specific that I went, huh, I wonder.
I honestly, and this is because of my respect for like her command of prose, like J.K. Rowling writes the screenplay for both of these movies.
Because there are no books of these, yes?
No,
there are no books.
But the point I'm making is I would love her to do an adaptation, a book adaptation of these films because, like, as much as I enjoyed, let's say, Half-Blood Prince, the movie, or Order of the Phoenix, the movie, the books that they're based on are wildly superior. And those are pretty good movies, too.
Yeah, they are.
I'm missing things that I feel like I wouldn't if I had gotten to read the book, like for and again, there's not a book for there is a book for Fantastic Beasts, but it's not the book. There's a pretend like school book, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, but that's not the book that they're detailing in these films.
So, first of all, were you satisfied?
Yes.
Second of all, what is the gist of it? Obviously, it's the crimes of Grindelwald. So put Grindelwald in perspective. So because the last thing we saw was, I forgot what the kid's called, and he's turned into all darkness. Woo! And his, what was going on? What was that kid, the weird kid?
That kid, Grindelwald believes is the key to basically destroying the world of man. Like,
Magic?
Magic should rule.
Okay.
It should rule the world.
So like, he wants that.
He's Magneto, like,
got it.
In this universe. Like, he believes that they are superior. Like, if man wants to be, like, subjugated to magic, sure. Yeah, they can do that if they want to. But, like, they are superior.
Well,
I get you. But you probably don't want to like say that around the wrong Harry Potter fans. You'd be like, she's a Grindelwald supporter.
I'm just saying, it's kind of superior and flying stuff.
But the film is basically about him gaining.
I just had the weirdest thought.
Sure.
Jesus and Grindelwald, huh? Because he's even more superior.
Is this? See? Are they fighting?
Yeah,
Is it a team up?
But like, he doesn't. Jesus doesn't need a sword because it's Jesus.
I mean, technically, neither does Grindelwald.
Oh.
I mean, if you're...
I guess. I was just saying, I mean, we all know who's going to win.
Jesus doesn't need a wand. Like, you don't need, like, a phoenix feather wand.
I know. I'm just... Never mind. I just... Sparkly object. I went, huh. That'd be a totally different take that maybe Mel Gibson could direct. Okay.
Man, that... Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be, wouldn't it?
It would be worth at least one viewing, bare minimum.
I can hear the pen scribbling. Oh, it's a good one.
Johnny Depp is not in Jack Sparrow mode. Like, he's not serious. Like, I'm trying to think of a good film of his that he's really just not playing anything for laughs. He is very threatening in this film. He is not like trying to do weird things in the background. Like, he is
the Hatter.
Well, I'm just like,
he's not a bobblehead.
Basically every movie he's ever done with Tim Burton. He's not Johnny Depp.
He's not that guy. Okay.
Yeah. He is definitely like the heavy in this movie. And I think he plays it like rather successfully.
And he's in what I call a morph stage. Val Kilmer has already morphed. You know what I'm saying? And Leonardo DiCaprio is morphing.
You're talking about where they're almost cocooning themselves? Like,
yes. And Frank Sinatra is the first one I noticed who totally morphed. You had this gangly kid and the Bobby Soxers loved him. And then he morphs into the chairman of the board.
He ain't going to 21 Jump Street now.
Yeah, he's starting to morph into something else.
Like, and when they're not even like husky, like they're, they're men. Like, and I say that, and Johnny Depp's like 20 years older than me or something. Like,
I know. It's, I want to say they have weight.
Visage. Yeah.
I want to say if they have weight, I'm not saying they're, they have weight. There's something meatier about
them. And we're not
just
talking about their gravitas.
Yes. And I think that's good for these types of roles.
And I, like, you need an elder statesman for a role like this, much in the same way that they got Ralph Fiennes for Voldemort in the other Harry Potter series.
Okay, so I'm going to jump right in now that you've said Voldemort.
Sure.
Do we see Tom Riddle?
Now, keep in mind, Tom Riddle was a boy when he was at Hogwarts. And Dumbledore was a much more advanced age at that point. Like, if they are going to do it in this series, which honestly, I think you almost tip the cart, like, by having too much. Nods are good, but I think
so. The answer is no.
Not in this film, at least. Okay. I'm not saying that they won't do it. Like,
yeah, I was just thinking of who else would have been around that would have been someone we know.
And there are characters that they are nodding to, but again, I want you to experience it like in the film, because they do a good job of the reveals
now
in this movie.
To immerse myself again, like I'm wont to do, is there a Harry Potter film I should perhaps turn to just to, I don't know, find more Easter eggs or enjoy it more or not?
You're dealing with, you get a lot more Dumbledore in this movie, and the fact that, like, he actually, like, if Jude Law plays Albus Dumbledore in this movie. You get a little bit of backstory in Half-Blood Prince, but I don't know that it necessarily, like, informs you any better if you've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The film does a good job of being self-contained and not just being a series of references to the pre-existing, like, Harry Potter films or books.
Okay. All right. So we don't see Hermione's dentist parents or things like that.
No. Well, I mean, keep it. It's also 1940.
That's like a generation before that.
Right.
Okay.
Like, it's because I believe they make reference to World War II. Like, either it's happening or it just happened. So this takes place a good deal before the Harry Potter movies.
They could have stopped all that and just magicked it up. But if you had Nazi wizards, that's not so great. But still.
Cinematically,
it's great. Yeah.
Realistically, that's terrible.
What's the guy with the red face, skeletal? Who, that guy?
The Red Skull?
Yes.
What?
He's like an evil Nazi superhero. Supernaturally gifted person.
He's got kind of a bastardized version of the super soldier serum. But yeah, like he's evil Captain. He's Nazi Captain America.
Yeah, okay. I think Hellboy should be in this movie, come to think of it.
I loved the Hellboy series.
Hellboy.
I'm really disappointed Guillermo del Toro never got to do the third one. Like, and evidently, like, he had some big stuff planned for it. But as they've already done the remake. Well, you know what?
They did a remake? There's a new Hellboy?
It's coming out this January or February. Ron Perlman.
I can't stop the words. Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd has been asked by Sony to produce an original Ghostbuster screenplay. Like, even after they did the Evil Dead remake, they had Bruce Campbell return to the role in the TV series. So, I mean, honestly, these days, like, just because you've rebooted it, like, if Hellboy does not do business and they still want to exploit that XP, there is no reason why Ron Perlman and Guillermo del Toro could not return to that. Like,
all right. I haven't shown the girls Hellboy yet, but I keep saying, you will love this. Like, that looks weird. It's like, Anyway,
right.
Back
because
to this
they
movie.
Don't like anything weird.
I know. Back to this. So, how long is it?
2 hours and 15 minutes, I believe.
Okay.
It's not like a slog. It's not like...
Did you say a slong?
Slog.
A slog.
It's... I mean, like, I didn't think it overstayed its welcome. Like, it was a perfectly fine 2 hours. Like, there are movies that, like, are an hour and a half that I'm just like, we need to wrap this up, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically any Air Bud movie. Like, as soon as the credits roll, I'm just like, we should wrap this up. They're like, Adam had just started. I was like, I know. We need to wrap it up. I'm done.
That's funny. You have no idea how many times I've seen, what's it, Santa Paws?
Santa Paws, Space Buddies.
Just.
Air Bud Golden.
Though,
Golden
Adam
Receiver.
And I would like to say, should those be redone, we are available to voice any of those.
Oh, yeah.
Those,
I will play Air Bud. I will get a dog costume and play Air Bud if you want me to. I'm just saying, I don't like the movies.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I won't be in the movie.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Like, I mean, Michael Caine did Jaws the Revenge. He didn't like it. Didn't stop him from being in it and buying a house with the money that he got from it.
I will happily do that. Okay, so, what's the name of the first one?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
No, Tattoo Girl thing.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or Girl in the Spider's Web?
Girl in the Spider's Web. A fine movie. You don't have to see it in the theater. Go wait till it, you know, you rent it for $2 or something.
I mean, if you've got, like, matinee, sure.
Okay.
I don't know that I'd rush out and pay full price for it. You check it out, like, you got a subscription to HBO or something that comes on one day. Check it out. It's worth your time.
Crimes of Grindelwald, however.
This one, I mean, it makes full use of, like, the theater experience. It's kind of like a Star Wars movie. You don't have to see those in the theater, but I'm not going to tell you they're not, to a certain extent, better in the theater. And this is one of those, I mean, it's a 7.1 surround, like, experience. Like, it's big. You can tell Warner Brothers pumped money into this thing.
So I'm just going to assume that will be the number one movie coming out of this weekend.
I don't see any, what, like, there's no scenario that it doesn't. Like, maybe it doesn't do the business they wanted it to. Like, maybe it opens softer than they wanted. But, like, I can't imagine that any film, like, the only brand new competition it's got is what? Instant
Grinch?
Family?
Oh, Instant
Grinch
Family.
Grinch is a week old at this point.
I think.
So, I mean, I don't see it not taking number one. The question is, how large does it open?
Was the theater full when you saw it?
Yeah. Pretty full, and I saw a noon show on Saturday.
Okay. Well, I do want to see it, and I shall. Just didn't get to see it Friday.
Jude Law, and he hasn't got to quite sink his teeth into it the way that, like, say, Fassbender has got to do in his X-Men movies. Jude Law, I'm really enjoying as a young Albus Dumbledore.
Good.
And that was another character that I was kind of concerned. Same way when they recast the X-Men movies, when I was like, Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are kind of the bee's knees. Can't we just tell people to pretend that they're younger and let them be in these movies? Like, Jude Law is a good Albus Dumbledore. I just wish I got to see more. Like, I'd watch just a movie about young Albus Dumbledore. Like, he's a fascinating character to the point that, like, he's one of the central characters in the original Harry Potter.
Do we do any with his brother and his weird sister?
I don't want to get too much into his lineage.
Ew.
But, like, Dumbledore gets...
We learn more about Dumbledore
in
this.
We do, yes. Okay. There is some exploratory narration and whatnot going on.
I see. And I naturally assume this leaves us room for a third film.
If I am understanding what the producers have said correctly, it is intended to be a 5-part series.
Okay. Not a 5-year mission.
No.
I can always bring in
Star
Trek.
Deep Space. No.
Okay.
No. But this, hypothetically, this is the second of a 5-part series.
Okay. Whenever they do that, I worry. And I know Richard Harris, it worked out with the Dumbledores, but I just want all of them. You know, I just like that feeling that they were all
the continuity.
Part of it. Yeah, that's all. That's all.
Well, I mean, Michael Gambon wasn't, like, if that's the guy we had to get filler in Azkaban on, like, he did great. And I mean, honestly, I would question Richard Harris's ability to do some of the more physical things in the later Harry Potter movies. Like, and I don't mean any disrespect for him, but like the man had a storied, like, long career. But like in the first two Harry Potter movies, he's barely moving.
Mm-hmm.
And like when he is moving, it ain't fast. Like, now he fits the role of like wizened old bearded man with magical powers, but
sounds like you're describing Santa.
Well, I mean, or Gandalf. Like, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know that there's a lot of that stuff that he really could have done easily. I mean, I'm sure they would have figured it out. Like, if we can have, if we can have dragons look real, we can make an old man move quickly. Just putting it out there.
All right. So, Crimes of Grindelwald. Go see it immediately. And I shall do it too. And do you know what's coming out next week?
Ralph Breaks the Internet. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's 21st.
The new Wreck-It Ralph. Maybe. So, coming out over Thanksgiving. Because that's what we're heading into, new Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, so this will be up on, well, the day before or after Thanksgiving. I don't know how that's going to work. But go see Grindelwald. Maybe see it twice.
If you're a fan of Harry Potter, there is enough new that I think you'll be satiated. And there's enough of a nod that kind of explores some of the stuff you may have been interested in mm-hmm. in the previous films and books that, as a Harry Potter fan, I mean, J.K. Rowling is writing it. She did the screenplay and produced it. You have Michael Heyman, who is a producer on all of the original. David Yates, who directed, I believe, I want to say Order of the Phoenix on. Mm-hmm. Like, he directed Order of the Phoenix, Half-Blood Prince, and both Deathly Hallows. He's the guy that directed this one.
Okay.
I mean, you've all of those pieces are back together again. Like, the producers, the writers, the directors. Like, this is basically the people that gave you the bottom half of the original Harry Potter movies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a consistency of vision.
Okay. Well, I, for one, cannot wait to see it. And that's it. Happy Thanksgiving ahead of time. And happy Thanksgiving later. Just saying it now.
It's like, whenever you happen to listen to this.
Yeah, whenever. I mean, could
be
the
future.
Future you.
Or the past.
And future Jane, remember. Anyway, so thank you very much. This has been Parental Guidance Suggested with Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.